Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, May 10, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 5. Indeed, we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants because of Jesus. And what that verse is saying is that every faithful communicator of the Word of God, today in the post-canon period of the church age, that's the pastor-teacher, that faithful communicator has an obligation and a responsibility to feed the Lord's sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" He asked him three times. "Then feed my sheep." Now there are getting fewer and fewer and fewer faithful communicators. But those faithful communicators, they realize the obligation and responsibility that they have. And therefore, when they feel great and when they feel lousy, it doesn't make any difference. They study and teach and study and teach and study and teach because they have an obligation, a responsibility, and because they love Jesus Christ. That's what verse 5 is saying. Indeed, we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants because of Jesus. Verse 6, because the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who commanded light shine out of darkness, is the one who is shown in our hearts for the purpose of giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Verse 7. Now we possess this treasure. What is this treasure? The God-breathed scriptures in our heart, the Word of God. We possess this treasure of the Word of God in our hearts in earthen vessels, in a human body, for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. Well, that word treasure, the Greek word thesaurus. And a thesaurus in the ancient world literally was a treasure chest and referred to the treasure that was inside of it, usually silver and gold and jewels. That was the thesaurus. But figuratively, it's used to describe the Word of God. The Word of God, Bible doctrine, the God-breathed scriptures, the absolute truth of God's Word. That's the treasure. That's the greatest treasure that you can ever, ever, ever accumulate and have. You think it's important to have a lot of money? Tuck away stocks and bonds? We better get ready, because banks are closing already. And they're going to more of them close. A big deal. Your banks and you got stocks and bonds and money, and it'll be gone. Then you'll have to start tucking it in the mattress and under the bed, in the walls. You think gold is everything? You think having a lot of money, having a big house is everything? You think having cars and all this is everything? No. Do you think that's the most important thing? No, no, no. The greatest treasure you can ever have is the treasure of the Word of God in your heart. And somewhere along the line, maybe the light will go on and you realize that is the greatest treasure you can ever, ever accumulate. The treasure of the Word of God. And then the word vessel is skewos. And figuratively, it's used here for the body of the believer. And it's modified by the adjective ostrakinos, which means it's made of earth or clay. It's earthen. So these are, our human body is an earthen vessel. It's a clay jar. We have this fantastic treasure of the Word of God in earthen vessels and clay jars. And why was it put this way? By God the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. This emphasizes how fragile man really is. How fragile our life is here in time. And we're here today, we're gone tomorrow. Clay jars, earthen vessels, well, they crack, they break, and all of that represents suffering. And in our passage that we're going into, we are one of the great passages on suffering for blessing of the winner believer. Specifically in the context, it's the Apostle Paul. And I told you yesterday, the toughest believer I didn't know him personally. I know I'm old, but not that old. The toughest believer of all time is the Apostle Paul. All the suffering for blessing that he received. You could take all of us together and add them all together. We wouldn't even come close to what the Apostle Paul received by way of suffering for blessing. So the cracks and the breaking represents suffering for blessing of winner believers. Suffering situations turn out to be opportunities. Opportunities for you to witness, But not only to people, but also to the angels that are all watching you, bending their neck, watching you. Suffering is not only a great blessing for the spiritually mature believer, but God also uses suffering as an opportunity to witness for Christ. Now we possess this treasure, the treasure of the Word of God, in earthen vessels, our human bodies, for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of man. God has given us in this dispensation the most unique dispensation in all of human history. We are in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict because the attack in the Old Testament was on the line of Christ, and then Christ came, it was on Christ himself. But this is the first time in all of human history Satan's attack is on the body of Christ, every single believer. We live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, and God, in his amazing grace, provided for us a unique spiritual life, supernatural way of life. It can only operate by supernatural power, the power of the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Word of God in your heart. And we have this kai me ex hemon, this power is from God, but it's not from us. You can't live the spiritual life by human energy of the flesh. You can't live the spiritual life by the power of the sin nature. You can't live the spiritual life when you're living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. The ministry of the unique spiritual life of the church age given to every church age believer can only be executed by the grace and the power of God. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. And at that point, we started to summarize. And we only got about halfway through the summary. We have 4 points. One, the treasure is the God-breathed scriptures. That's the treasure. The Word of God, that's the treasure. The greatest treasure you can ever accumulate. The greatest treasure you will ever possess is the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. And we ended with this in Proverbs 8, 10, and 11. We're going to start with Proverbs 8, 10, and 11 tonight. This is the great chapter where wisdom is personified. Wisdom is like a person doing the communication and the teaching here. And wisdom says, choose my instruction instead of silver. So wisdom is far, far greater treasure than silver. And Bible doctrine rather than choice gold. Bible doctrine is infinitely a greater treasure than gold is. For wisdom, metabolized doctrine in your heart, is more precious than rubies. And nothing you desire, and I know you have a lot of desires out there. Nothing you desire can compare with the treasure of the Word of God in your heart. So if you ever find a sound Bible teaching church, then exploit it. That was a good word. Did I get you on that one? Exploit. Exploit it. Exploit it. Exploit it. Because there's going to come a day in this country with our apostasy, you will search far and wide, all over, and you won't be able to find Bible doctrine, sound doctrinal teaching. Exploit it when you got the chance. Exploit it! So three, we have this great treasure in common jars of clay, earthen vessels. Four, this great treasure includes the grace gospel and the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures in our hearts, metabolized, believed in our hearts. Five, point five, as royal priests, we represent ourselves before God. This is the unique dispensation because we have the universal priesthood of the believer. You're all priests. You're all royal priests. That never occurred ever before in human history. It, no matter what dispensation, it was always a specialized priesthood. This is the only dispensation where every single believer is a royal priest, universal priesthood of the believer, and therefore we represent ourselves before God. And how do we represent ourselves before God? Well, we obey his mandates to keep on being filled with the Spirit, his mandate to walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. His mandate to stop grieving the Spirit. His mandate to stop quenching the Spirit. His mandate to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we represent ourselves before God. Six, as royal ambassadors, and we are all not only royal priests, we each one of us are in full-time Christian service. We are all royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And as royal ambassadors, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Seven, the grace gospel and this glorious message of salvation that we proclaim to the unbeliever is from the source of God, not from us. This grace gospel and the glorious message of salvation that we proclaim to the unbeliever is from the source of God, not from us. Eight, by contrast, the bearer of the message, that is the church age believer in full-time Christian service, you as royal family of God, we are simply an earthen vessel, mere mortal man, living our lives by the grace and power of God. By contrast, the bearer of the message, the church age believer in full-time Christian service, is an earthen vessel, mere mortal man, living his life by the grace and the power of God. Nine, the ministry of the spiritual life is totally by the grace and power of God and not from the source of man. The ministry of the spiritual life is totally by the grace and power of God and not from the source of man. Now, from that verse 7, the Apostle Paul goes into another paragraph that's absolutely amazing. And we're going to see from this once again what I've been saying. The toughest believer I've ever studied about is the Apostle Paul. So in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 18, we have the ministry of the spiritual life related to suffering for blessing. The ministry of the spiritual life related to suffering for blessing. Now there are two main categories of suffering. There's suffering for blessing and there's punitive suffering. Now if you're making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, well, you're going to come under punitive suffering, self-induced misery, warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline. And that characterizes most Christians today in the United States of America. But you have a choice. You don't have to go through, have received punitive suffering. That's the only suffering that most Christians will ever know in America today. But there's another category. Suffering for blessing. And suffering for blessing is when you qualify for that. That means you have lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That means you've advanced to spiritual maturity. That means you've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. That means you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That means you have the great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father. You have the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. He is your most important love. And when you reach that point, now God is free to give you one of the greatest and most unique blessing packages of all time. Suffering for blessing. Only to the spiritually adult believer, not to the baby believer, not to the adolescent believer, not to the reversionistic and carnal believer, only to the believer who has advanced and reached spiritual adulthood. Then you're qualified to receive suffering for blessing. And what an honor. What an honor. What a privilege. So we have the ministry of the spiritual life related to this great category of blessing, suffering for blessing for the spiritually mature believer. So we start out in verse 8. We are troubled on every side. This is the present passive participle of phlebo, and I don't have a lisp. It's phlebo. Plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of pos. Phlebo. Looks like that in the Greek. T-H-L-I-B, long O. Phlebo. Now, phlebo is in the present tense, which is a customary present. Phlebo is a verb for suffering. And here, the customary present, this is suffering for blessing. It will occur once you attain spiritual adulthood. Now you're qualified and you will receive habitually, from time to time, this fantastic suffering for blessing. Phlebo. The passive voice, the voice of grace, the spiritually adult believer receives this special blessing. He receives it as a special gift from God. Special gift from God. The participle is an absolute participle. It stands alone as the only verb in a clause, and therefore must be translated as if it were an indicative. So, one, phlebo was originally used for crushing grapes. It was originally used for crushing grapes. Now, I don't think they do it that way anymore. If you knew that, some of you would quit drinking wine. I want to know the feet that are crushing these grapes. Two, it is pressure on the outside that crushes on the inside. Pressure on the outside that crushes on the inside. Three, literally, it means to press upon, to compress, to make narrow, to become restricted. To press upon, to compress, to make narrow, to become restricted. Four, figuratively, it meant to be under maximum pressure. A human being under maximum pressure. And is translated to be afflicted, to be oppressed, to be hard pressed. To be under maximum pressure, to be afflicted, to be oppressed, to be hard pressed. Five. This affliction and oppression is suffering for blessing. Blessing. Suffering for blessing that God gives to the spiritually mature believer. This is affliction and oppression. It is suffering for blessing that God gives to the spiritually mature believer. Six. Now, in our context, the subject we refers to the Apostle Paul and Apollos and Timothy and Titus. That's by interpretation. It refers to the communicators of the Word of God. And the communicators of the Word of God who have advanced to spiritual maturity, they get clobbered with suffering for blessing. Seven, by application, it includes suffering for blessing for all the royal family of God that have attained spiritual maturity. By application, it includes suffering for blessing for all the royal family of God that have attained spiritual maturity. This isn't a bad thing. This is a great thing. Great thing. What an honor. What a privilege. Only given to the spiritually mature believer. I read Billy Graham's. Somebody asked him, you know, as he looks back, what was he thinking about his ministry? He says, I'm very concerned. Because I see the great believers in the Bible, and they all had great suffering. He didn't say suffering for blessing, but all those great believers had great suffering. And he said, I haven't. Which he was really saying, I'm not sure I'm a great believer. So, eight. This affliction and affliction and oppression is designed for suffering for blessing in the life of the spiritually mature believer. Nine, to qualify. You have to qualify for this category of suffering. To qualify for this suffering for blessing demands living the spiritual life by God's grace and God's power. To qualify for this suffering for blessing demands living the spiritual life by God's grace and God's power. And when you live the spiritual life by God's grace and God's power, you're not only operating by the filling of the Spirit continually, but you're operating by the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And you are consistently and faithfully metabolizing doctrine, and the result of that, God's problem-solving devices out on the flat line of the soul. Forward line of troops. You have the God's problem-solving devices. You have learned the technique to clear the hurdle. And I will, for the rest of my days that God graces me out and keeps me here, I will see myself running hurdles. I loved running hurdles when I could run. I loved running hurdles when I could walk. And I get to run hurdles, keep running hurdles, spiritual hurdles. But if and when you reach spiritual adulthood, you will also run spiritual hurdles. You got to know the technique. The technique is God's problem-solving devices. Out on the flat line of the soul, forward line of troops. And that enables you to clear that hurdle of suffering for blessing. Clear it and advance your momentum. Advance your spiritual growth. And in the process, glorify God to the maximum. And that's why we're here. So to qualify for this suffering for blessing demands on living the spiritual life by God's grace and God's power, and knowing and using God's problem-solving devices. 10. The spiritually mature believer has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. And that means he has occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. When you have occupation with Jesus Christ and share the happiness of God, it doesn't make any difference whether you're sick or you're well. Whether you have adversity and suffering or you have prosperity, it makes no difference at all. You share the happiness of God. You are occupied with Jesus Christ. You have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And then we have the preposition and plus the dative of pos. And aren't in Gengrich, the Greek lexicon, page 638, tells us that when you have N plus the dative of pos, it may be translated in every respect, in every way, in everything. In every respect, in every way, in everything. So, corrected translation so far. We are afflicted, oppressed, suffering for blessing in every way. We are afflicted, oppressed, suffering for blessing in every way. And then he says, yet not distressed. That's the King James Version. This is the conjunction Allah plus the present passive participle of stenokoreo with the objective negative u. Allah, you know, you're an enlightened congregation, is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, correctly translated, but Allah sets up a contrast between one, having the hurdle of suffering for blessing, with not hitting the hurdle and crashing and burning. So it's the contrast between having the hurdle of suffering for blessing with not hitting the hurdle and crashing and burning. Two, it is receiving the test of suffering for blessing with not flunking the test. Receiving the test of suffering for blessing with not flunking the test. Three, It's a contrast between suffering for blessing provided by God with not falling apart and being crushed. With not falling apart and being crushed. And then stenokoreo, great word. Phlebo was a great word. Now, stenokoreo. S-T-E-N-O-C-H. Long O-R-E. Long O. Stenokoreo. Now, once again, the present tense here is the customary present. The spiritually mature believer clears the hurdle of suffering for blessing by the grace and power of God. He's going to have it, and he's going to have it as you keep advancing, more and more and more of this fantastic suffering for blessing. And you might start out with one hurdle, and then two hurdles, and three. Pretty soon you get up to 10 hurdles and run an entire race. And then you're really, really doing it. You're right there. So it's a customary present. The spiritually mature believer clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing by the grace and power of God. The passive voice, this is the voice of grace. It's God's grace gift to you as a spiritually mature believer. And the participle is once again an absolute participle, and that is it functions as an indicative. So, one, stenokoreo is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. It's found in our verse, 2 Corinthians 4:8, and it's found in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Both times, it is used by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, under the guiding and teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit had Paul use this very unique word. So, it's stenokoreo is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures, both times used by the Apostle Paul. Well, we got the one here. We're going to see that amplified in a minute. But let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 6. You don't have that far to go. You don't have that far to go. Now we haven't seen this passage. I don't think we've ever gone and looked at this one, but this is perfectly tied in with what Paul is teaching in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. So let's start at 2 Corinthians 6, start at verse 4. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings. How many times have you been beaten? And I'm not talking about your husband, you know. It might be the women beating on the husband, I don't know. See, we could add all of you up together and you wouldn't have that much compared to Paul. In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments. How many times have you been in prison? In tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. In purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, is the power to live the spiritual life. in unhypocritical virtue love. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory, some of believers are as fickle as you can get. 1 minute, you know, oh, you're great. Next minute, down with the bastard, you know, something like that. By glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers. They accused Paul of being a deceiver, and yet true. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, yet behold, we live. As punished, yet not put to death. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich through the teaching of the Word of God. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Now this is suffering for blessing. You might go through there and see, do you have any of you qualified to receive that? And then he says in verse 11, our mouth, the communication of the word of God to you Corinthians. You talk about the record for reversionism. They hold the record for living in the cosmic system. Our mouth communicated the word of God has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide, communicating grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. You're not steno-corralled by us. Don't go blaming me, Paul. Don't go blaming Titus and Timothy and Apollos. You're not restrained by us, steno-corralled. But you are restrained by your own emotions. You're living by your emotions, not by the absolute truth of the Word of God. That's the only other time steno-corralō is used. So 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 2 Corinthians 6:12. Two. It's a compound verb made up of steno, narrow, plus koros, space. Compound verb made up of steno, narrow, and koros, space. Three, it means to be confined to a narrow space, to be restricted, and to be crushed. And that's how we are going to translate it. It means to be crushed. Now, what do we have with steno-corralō? The objective negative, ooh, slams the door. But we absolutely are not crushed. Yes, we have suffering for blessing. Yes, we are afflicted, oppressed in every way. In every way, 2 Corinthians 6:4 through 10. Every way. But we absolutely are not crushed. Four. So the objective negative ooh slams the door. We absolutely are not crushed. Five. We absolutely have not fallen apart. The Apostle Paul is the greatest spiritual hurdler of all time. He ran the hurdles and ran the hurdles and ran the hurdles. He's the greatest of all time. Six, the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in the heart, developing God's problem-solving devices, equalizes the pressures, the afflictions, the oppressions of suffering for blessing. The filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine of the heart, developing God's problem-solving devices, equalizes the pressures, the afflictions, the oppressions of suffering for blessing. 7. Only by the grace and power of God can the spiritually mature believer clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Only by the grace and power of God can the spiritually mature believer clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. So he says so far, we are afflicted, we are oppressed in every way, but we absolutely are not crushed. And then we have, we are perplexed, but not in despair. This is the present middle participle of aporeo, plus the conjunction Allah, plus the present middle participle of ex aporeo, with the objective negative uk. Now, we have aporeo contrasted with ex aporeo. The only thing different is a preposition has been added to the beginning of aporeo. And what do you know about it? You know about this. What does that do when you prefix a preposition to a verb or a noun? How about huper ek perisu? Perisu, abundantly. Ek, preposition ek, added to it. Super abundantly. Ek perisu. Huper ek perisu. Two prepositions prefixed. Super, super abundantly. Well, we have aporeo, and then we have it contrasted with ex aporeo, with the objective negative uk. So, aporeo. I mean, this is the kind of thing if for a pastor who studies from the original language. I mean, you got to get down and do push-ups. I don't do that anymore because I can't get up. So, but at one time, I get down and do push-ups. Sometimes I waddle down to the bathroom and take a good pee. That'll work, you know. It changes when you get older, is the what is. And sometimes I have to move pretty fast, too. A-P-O-R-E, long O. Opera O. Now, I have in my little study area, I have a whole library of Hebrew and Greek books for translation from the original languages. One of the great ones in the Greek is Moulton and Milligan. Moulton and Milligan have a great book about this tall and this wide and no pictures and small print. And it's called The Vocabulary of the Greek New Testament. And on page 67, Moulton and Milligan says that in the papyri, the verb aporeo was used of a man that was ruined by creditors and he was aporeoed. He was at his wit's end. So he was at his wit's end. In the times in which we are living, there's a lot of people out there that are at their wit's end. 2. Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 97, says that aporeo means to be greatly disturbed, to have great pain in the soul. You see, to be at your wit's end, you have a lot of pain in the soul. You're greatly disturbed. 3. Aporeo describes something in the soul that causes you pain and hurt, anguish. Aporeo describes something in the soul that causes you pain, hurt, anguish. 4. Apareo is great inner pressure, inner pain. It's despair. Despair. Probably one of the best translations of it is despair. Five. Once again, this is suffering for blessing, that the spiritually mature believer is qualified to receive from God as a special, special blessing. Now Allah, again, we have this all the way through here. Allah, again, is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, but. So Paul is saying, we are apareoed, but we absolutely are not ex-apareoed. Isn't that great? You can get up and run around a little bit. Paul says, we are apareoed, but we absolutely are not ex-apareoed. With the objective negative ook, it sets up a very strong contrast between having great inner pressure in the soul with absolutely not succumbing to total despair. Having great inner pressures in the soul with absolutely not succumbing to total despair. It is contrasting having suffering for blessing with great soul victory. You clear the hurdles, you win the race, you glorify God to the maximum. So it contrasts having suffering for blessing with great soul victory. Where does the great soul victory come from? God's problem-solving devices. Faith, rest, life. Virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for the Father. Impersonal love for all. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Sharing the happiness of God. Having that phenomenal inner peace of soul. The objective negative ook slams the door. The spiritually mature believer will have apareo. Yeah. The spiritually mature believer will have apareo. But he absolutely does not have ex apareo. He has apareo, yeah. That's a blessing. But he absolutely does not have ex apareo. E-K-S-A-P-O-R-E long O. Ex apareo. All right, a couple of things. One, ex apareo is only found in the New Testament scriptures two times. And you guessed it, both times are by the Apostle Paul. It's found in our verse, 2 Corinthians 4:8, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. So, turn back to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, the only other place where ex apareo is used. So, it's only found two times, both times by the Apostle Paul, both times in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:8, 2 Corinthians 4:8. All right, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. For we want you to know, brethren, fellow members of the royal family of God, about our intense personal suffering, which, suffering for blessing, took place in the Roman province of Asia Minor. Namely, that we received extreme suffering to such an extraordinary degree, far beyond our human power and ability to endure it, with the result that we despaired even of living, ex apareo. We despaired, they didn't think they were even going to live. Verse 9. Indeed, we had the sentence of death in our hearts. This was a totally helpless situation. For the purpose that we absolutely should not trust in ourselves, but we absolutely should put our trust and confidence in God, the one who raises the dead. Verse 10. Who, God, delivered us out from so great a danger of death, and he will deliver us. He's delivered us in the past. He will deliver us. In whom we have confident expectation that he, God, will deliver us again in the future. I mean, this, see, some of you throw out that suffering for blessing, you know, you got your nosebleed or a cough or something like that. How many of you were in had a hopeless situation? You're a dead man. 11. You also joining together with us and helping us by means of your intercessory prayers for the purpose that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gracious gift of deliverance. Deliverance from mortal danger granted to us through the prayers of the many believers. Well, we're studying the doctrine of prayer too. The Apostle Paul, as he had more on his plate than any believer of history, and yet he prayed day and night. He prayed day and night. He taught, studied, and taught day after day after day. So ex operao is only found in the New Testament scriptures two times, both by Paul, 2 Corinthians 1:8, 2 Corinthians 4:8, 2. While operao is used for suffering for blessing of the spiritually mature believer, ex operao, the spiritually mature believer, does not totally fall apart and crash and burn. While operao is used for suffering for blessing of the spiritually mature believer, ex operao, the spiritually mature believer, does not totally fall apart and crash and burn. Three, the spiritually mature believer will have inner pressure and despair as a part of suffering for blessing. The spiritually mature believer will have inner pressure and despair as a part of suffering for blessing. But he will not be totally despairing. He will not crash and burn. He does not hit the hurdle and crash and burn. So the spiritually mature believer will have inner pressure and despair as a part of suffering for blessing, but he will not be totally despairing and crash and burn. So operao, suffering for blessing, yes, great inner pressure in the soul, yes. Paul had a lot of that. Soul pain, yes. But, ook ex operao, not crashing and burning. All right, well, I hope you, this is a great paragraph. Great paragraph. And by the time we get done, I think you might even agree with me that the toughest believer of all time with the Apostle Paul. And we get to see a winner believer clear the hurdles. And I hope all of you reach spiritual adulthood so that God can bless you with suffering for blessing. I hope all of you get there. Because when you have those hurdles and you clear them by God's problem-solving devices, you glorify God to the maximum. To the maximum. And that will be evidenced when we get to 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians 4. We get to 2 Corinthians 5. That will be evidenced at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if we die before the rapture, you're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. Face to face. What does that mean? There's an interim body. You live in an interim body until the rapture. Once the rapture occurs, now you're in a resurrection body. And at the rapture, when we all have a resurrection body, the very first thing is something totally unprecedented ever. And that is every single believer in Jesus Christ, every single member of the royal family of God, the dead in Christ and those who are living, will get down and worship Jesus Christ. And that unprecedented worship of Jesus Christ immediately follows the rapture. And we've called it the great genuflex in the sky. And then we go on into heaven, and there we are evaluated at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us will be evaluated. And for those of you who have attained spiritual maturity, for those of you who have been blessed with suffering for blessing and cleared those hurdles, there will be crowns and rewards and decorations for you given to you by Jesus Christ that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. And the loser believer will lose out on all of those things. He'll be in heaven. He won't lose his salvation. That's impossible. He'll be in heaven, but he has no crowns, no rewards, no decorations. So that's 2 Corinthians 5 coming up. We won't be there next week, but it's coming. And we have a lot of great, great truth and doctrine ahead of us. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. Thank you for all the blessings you give to us, including suffering for blessing. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.